This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Monday.
Matt, the U.S. continues to export a lot of its surplus dairy products overseas, but that is in jeopardy as freight issues continue, don't they?
The freight issues at the moment, it's in all kinds of forms. It's trucking, it's warehousing, and it's, you know, capacity to get on ships. Freight issues are a challenge at the moment. Some of the worst issues with freight since maybe the first quarter of this year. And we're on track, you know, as we get closer to the holidays, which is where we have record demand for transportation, that we're going to have record levels of congestion like we've never seen before. One of the big issues right now is that we have a near record number of container ships waiting to be unloaded at West Coast ports. And the reason why, or one of the reasons why, is because at the beginning of June, the end of May, there was a typhoon and other issues in China that caused a backlog. Well, now, because of the Delta variant, there was another backlog that happened at the third most important port in the world in China. So fast forward 3 weeks, and those boats are going to cause a deluge on the West Coast.
Tuesday.
We hear comments from Kirby Krogstad, a graduate research assistant in the Animal Science Department at Michigan State University, who discusses some latest research regarding sweet bran, which has changed the way that cattle are fed.
We looked at feeding sweet bran to dairy cattle, and sweet bran was kind of a nice product to evaluate because, first of all, there's a great amount of literature on it. We found over 28 studies evaluating this particular product, and it's fed the high plains and the southern plains, mostly where the dairy industry is growing. So we really wanted to look at how to optimize it. And I think that's important because feeding byproducts like sweet bran or like distillers grains or canola meal, all of those things that come from other industries, improves our sustainability really through two ways. It reduces the amount of land area we need to feed a cow. It increases the net contribution of a cow to the human food supply. So instead of using more human edible ingredients, we're using more human inedible ingredients.
Wednesday.
Everybody understands the importance of fermentation, but I don't know if every farmer is looking at fermentation profiles. And that's, I think, an important thing. It's a test that can be run on silages to evaluate how well the fermentation was completed. And then we can glean things from there and say, you know, if there was some stumbling blocks, what do we need to do better next year? And one of the things we know that can really help a fermentation profile is the use of an inoculant. And there's a lot of different brands out there. Crystal Creek has a brand called Inoculoc, and it's a forage inoculant for forage preservation. So much effort goes into that last step. And if that fermentation goes well, we're off to the races. And if it doesn't go well, we're stuck with that for 12 months. And it's just the inoculant to me is just such a small piece of almost like insurance to help drive that fermentation in a positive direction.
Dr. Ryan Leiterman, Director of Technical Services with Crystal Creek.
Thursday.
The new Pandemic Market Volatility Assistance Program is helping dairy farmers who suffered during the pandemic. Here with more details on the new program, Chris Galen with the National Milk Producers Federation.
Yes, this was an announcement in the recent weeks from USDA that they are going to share about $350 million with fluid milk handlers, and ultimately that money will go to farmers who are most affected by the problems we had with the Class 1 formula last year. So what's going to happen now is that USDA later this year, it's not something that's going to happen in the next few weeks, but later in the fall, they will be providing money back ultimately down to farmers affected by some of the challenges with the Class 1 fluid milk mover formula. But the bottom line is it's good news. It's over $300 million. It's not the entirety of what we were expecting. And so we're now going to be also working with Congress to see if there's some other ways we can make up for the funding shortfall that resulted last year.
Friday.
A cover crop basically is a small grain that is usually planted in mid-fall, and it sprouts. It grows up anywhere some 4 to 8 inches in height. Then it goes into the winter dormancy, and then next spring can be harvested either as a silage crop or as a grain crop. And then once that is harvested, usually in April and May, then we can then come back with full season soybeans or corn. The cover crops also improve the soil health. It reduces erosion from wind losses. It can reduce a moisture loss, be less evaporation because we have green cover on that land. And it can moderate the soil temperature so that the soil warms up a bit earlier.
And that's Dr. Mike Hutchins. To listen to more, go to dairyradio.com.
Dairy Rewind.